everybody. Welcome to episode 196 of your Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That's gaming for the elderly. And today is November 27, 2012. I am Greg DeLacy, one of your hosts this week. And we've got a full house this week. So joining us on the UK side of the pond, Mr. Richard Primrose.
Oh, I've just put him in white again.
Shit.
Sorry, Pool Nation.
Hello.
Pool Nation, it's a new podcasting game. Yeah. Hello. Evening. Who else is with you? Gregor.
We also have Mr. Mike Chin.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
I'm good. I you know, I was in a kind of a not-so-great mood. We started podcasting, and already I am laughing, enjoying life again.
That's what it's all about, Greg.
Therapy. It's therapy.
Fantastic. Thanks for having me on the show. Thank you. Thank you.
Anytime, Mike. Anytime. And speaking of therapy, Mr. Christopher Matthew.
Hey, what's up? is this thing on?
It is on, yes.
Okay, good. Sorry. Having a little technical glitch there. Welcome, everyone. I have no idea what anyone else has said, so I shall not attempt to respond other than to say, welcome.
And that is how the show is going to go.
Yes. It's going to be one of those weeks.
Yeah. Why don't we just start talking games?
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so games this week. Mr. Matthew, why don't we let you take the lead on games this week?
Okay, see, I haven't been here in a couple of weeks. So the last week, I managed to finish the Halo 4 campaign with some help from my friends. That was good. Enjoyed that. Played a bit more of the XCOM. Classic difficulty is still kicking my butt, but I'm going to get there.
I'm going to pull you back to Halo 4 real quick, because I actually finished up Halo 4 myself.
Okay.
And we're going to avoid the whole spoilers thing, but how did you feel about the ending? To me...
I liked it all right.
It was not quite Halo 2-ish, but kind of.
Kind of, except with a bit more... Well, I don't want to spoil it, but yeah, sort of.
Yeah. I won't call it a cliffhanger, but it was definitely in that realm.
I don't think there was any cliffhanger at all. I think it was a very good prelude to things to come. I think is what they did. They kind of said, "All right, we've ended this and we've started a new thing." At least that's the impression that I got from it.
Yeah, no, I guess. It certainly is kind of – there is a certain amount of open-endedness to it in that there are things that still need to be resolved. But it's not, you know, Halo 2 where you are literally jumped off of a ship heading towards a planet and they just go to cut.
Right.
It's like, hey, next time. So I felt they did a better job of that. But they still left you with that little bit of that kind of wanting more, you know, almost cliffhangerish. You know there's more coming. That's, I guess, the best way to put it.
Yeah, so I didn't feel like there was any real... I mean, there's some unanswered questions, but it wasn't like an, oh my God, what's going to happen next kind of a cliffhanger. It was more of a, okay, there's some story to tell now.
There's some story to tell, and I guess maybe where I'm getting the cliffhanger part of it is there's a lot of different things that happen in this game that kind of need some resolution. Most of them get resolved. There's one particular... story portion that doesn't get resolved. And kind of, I felt like, I think they could have done a little bit better job of handling it, but, you know, we can talk about this maybe later on in the spoiler cast, maybe once the rest of the group has gone further into Halo 4, maybe when Mike finishes it up, we can all do a spoiler cast and talk about it.
Greg.
Or started, sure. Well, you've kind of started it.
I've started.
You started playing it, at
the
least.
Multiplayer.
Yeah. But I think overall, it sounds like you really enjoyed Halo 4. I definitely enjoyed Halo 4, and I'm kind of curious what you think of Spartan Ops.
Haven't had a chance to do Spartan Ops yet. I'm going to try to get on last night. Last night was the Monday night Halo that I hope will become a weekly thing. But I had the man flu, and I just
oh damn,
I was down for the count.
Well, I will be there
really
next
sorry,
Monday.
Really sorry to hear that, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like I was about to get on and play some Halo, and I was just like, I couldn't. So I literally like put on a pair of sweats and wrapped myself inside three blankets and just went to bed.
Okay.
Do you think Master Chief ever uses that excuse, Chris?
Master Chief
before he goes
is
into battle.
Master Chief is a genetically enhanced genetically modified cybernetically enhanced super soldier who is 7.5 feet tall and would weigh 950 pounds if he were real. So no, he probably doesn't. But
hey, he's real, man. We saw the live action movie. He's in it.
Right.
He's real.
Being a mere mortal, not living in a hermetically sealed vault, am subject to viruses.
Don't lie to me, Chris. I've seen you in XCOM. You perform over and above all the time.
I do, until I have the flu, and then I just got to take a knee for a minute. So I did. Good news is I feel much better today.
That is good news.
Not that the people really care.
So, it'll be curious to hear your take on Spartan Ops. You can go through and play them solo if you want.
Why would you, though?
I was just going to point that out. It ultimately is far better and quite honestly easier when you have multiple partners in there with you in the fight.
I mean, I always have fun playing the campaign by myself, but when Shinyverse and Chutney joined in, it was so much more fun. So much better when there's some more people to share in the moments.
Share in the laughter, sure. Getting stuck with a plasma grenade always makes for funny conversation.
Yes.
But Spartan Ops, the interesting thing for me at least, the missions themselves so far, and I've only played basically the first week's mission, so I'm still behind. But I have watched both the first week and the second week's little mini webisode or their little CGI cutscene.
Yep.
And it seems like there's an interesting story that's going to be told and kind of unfolding through that. I kind of wish they had done a little bit better job of maybe, I don't know how they really could have done it better, but making each mission kind of feel like it was part of that story and happening in line with it. For lack of a better way to put it, it's like you have this CGI video that kind of ties everything together, but you just play the missions one after the other, and you kind of want to get that cutscene in between missions that kind of helps explain things or transitions you over to the next one, or at least that was my take. I felt it would have been nicer to be that way, but anyway.
Are they fun though?
Well, see, the Spartan Ops, it really feels like this was 343's way of saying we're going to do firefight mode, but we're not going to do firefight mode. So.
Right.
It's the mission so far, and maybe they're going to change it up, and I welcome that. But so far, it's you basically are going from point A to point B, killing everything in your path, and along the way, you kill everything, and then everything gets reinforced with more troops, more enemies. You know, they keep reinforcing until you've kind of made it through all those waves, and you get to the end point, and it's end mission.
Okay.
So. It still has kind of that firefight feel of, okay, here comes another incoming wave of bad guys.
So it's more like the Mass Effect 3 stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have kind of that end game of you're trying to reach to point A or point B and you know, get you know, an evacuation off of the area that you're at. So, I mean, it's good, but I don't know. I love Firefight. Firefight was fun, but I guess this just doesn't have quite that arcadey Firefight feel to it, but it definitely it is their version of Firefight. When I really sit down and look at it and I look at the way the enemies come in and the way they, you know, they stack up against you, at the end of the day it is Firefight.
Okay.
Just
Firefight never really did it for me. I don't know why. It's never stuck with me. But.
Well, what I like about Spartan Ops, quite honestly, is I think once they're all released, you can just sit back and watch each episode. You don't even have to play through the missions to watch the episodes. And the CGI cutscenes are done very well in Spartan Ops. And in fact, I remember when I first was talking about it, I was saying how it was. I was a little underwhelmed because I was watching the CGI cutscene, and it was very pixelated and didn't come through really real crisp. I don't know what had happened. For whatever reason, my you know, Xbox booted it up all janky. But when I've gone back and looked at it since, it is top quality, excellent, visually stunning CGI. Similar to what they had in Halo 4.
Okay.
So, I think if nothing else, you can skip Spartan Ops playing the missions, but you could just watch those videos, and it'll make for a decent story.
Okay.
So, all right, Chris. I'm sorry we interrupted you, or I interrupted you, I should say. Carry on.
So, well, I've also been playing Assassin's Creed 3, which is I guess a couple of weeks old now. I picked it up on Steam's. Liking it so far, pretty good. I have been playing it with the Xbox controller on the PC, not with the mouse and keyboard. I'm just too clumsy to play anything with the mouse and keyboard.
The whole WASD thing.
I can barely type most of the time. So yeah, but I like it. I've just kind of gotten past the big plot thing at the end of Act 3 that someone spoiled for me before I got to it, which kind of made me angry.
I will stop laughing then.
No, it's okay. You can laugh. One of my buddies at work is like, hey, so I played it, and all of a sudden they do this, and I'm like, whoa, dick. Thanks for spoiling that for me. And he's like, but you're going to play it. I'm like, yeah, but now I won't get to experience the oh shit moment that you experienced, right?
Oh,
I'm
shit. We've got somebody like that, wouldn't it?
So this is a buddy of mine that likes games, but he's not as into it as like we are, you know? So I was just kind of explaining it to him. I'm like, look, man, that's like telling somebody the end of the book. He's like, oh.
Right.
So maybe he's learned.
If not. Grenade in the lunch pail.
Shame and cream bomb or something. But anyway, no, I like the game. I like the way the new controls are set up. It seems a bit more fluid to me than in previous games. It seems like the free running works a little better.
Mike, I know you're playing Assassin's Creed 3 right now as well. I mean, are you finding kind of the same things? The free running and stuff? Are you finding it more fluid? I know there were some criticisms. A lot of reviewers were kind of... critiquing it for saying the controls were kind of a little more janky again.
Oversimplification.
I feel like they're kind of at the same level, Chris, to be honest. Like, I mean, they've changed the controls a little bit, so you only have to hold down the right trigger for certain things, but they're just, I fuck up or jump on things unnecessarily or jump off things unnecessarily at the same rate I did in the previous games.
I seem to have less trouble with that. But that's just me. I mean,
doesn't happen very often, but like, I still have a problem with it now and again.
There is some silliness with it. There's one mission where you're sneaking through this fort, and there's like these low bushes, like, you know, knee high shrubs, and you can kind of crouch down and hide in them. And I'm literally standing like 1 foot in front of this guard that's looking right at me. But because I'm in this knee-high shrub, he can't see me. And it
reminded
really
me of... did you ever play Naughty Bear? Did anybody play Naughty Bear?
I didn't play that one.
So in Naughty Bear, you could do a similar thing where you hide in the bushes and you was completely covered. But what the Naughty Bear would do, he would like pull up a big fake leaf in front of him, kind of hiding his cover. Now, in a game like Naughty Bear, where it's about murdering, you know, bears that murder each other, or one bear that murders everyone.
A bear that murders all the other bears.
Yeah, it's you kind of forgive it, I suppose. It's not a very good game, but, well, you know, it's a fucking game about bears, so who cares? But really, it's the same approach in Assassin's Creed, and as ridiculous. But the problem with Assassin's Creed is it completely breaks, you know, the game for you. I mean, it doesn't break it, but it breaks the illusion of you're an amazing assassin.
There is some silliness there. That was kind of funny. Haven't been able to really get into the hunting stuff. yet, because I've just kind of gotten to where I'm playing as the actual main character.
Yeah.
So from what my friend was describing to me, it sounds a bit like Skyrim, where you actually can go out and hunt animals and you know, trap, get hides and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to that. Should be pretty good. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not.
Have you dabbled at all in the multiplayer side, Chris?
I haven't.
Or Mike, for that fact. Mike, have you?
No.
Okay. Well, I have Assassin's Creed 3 for the 360. Unfortunately, Chris, you got the inferior model. But maybe we can
get some multiplayer back to that in a second after you're done.
No.
So
I already know Assassin's Creed 3 on the PC is probably far superior to.
I don't know about far superior. I do think that they've done a pretty good job of taking advantage of the more robust hardware that you can put into a PC now. I mean, let's face it, the Xbox 360 is 6 years old, so the hardware is
seven years.
Yeah. So, you know, there's plenty of, you know, the PC hardware's gone a long way since then. So it looks better probably on the PC than it does on the 360, but in terms of gameplay, it's probably very much the same. So I'm not, you know, I will be looking forward to see if there's any modding support for it, because that's always interesting when you get into user generated content. In retrospect, this one probably should have been a 360 purchase because of the multiplayer component. But I kind of shied away from it because with Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, it got to be where the multiplayer didn't really work unless you had a dedicated group of people who were going to try to play it the way it was intended to be played. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody was kind of running around across the rooftops, and it became more just like Call of Duty without guns, if that makes any sense. So I picked it up on the PC because I wasn't really that interested in the multiplayer, but I guess from what Marcanix has said, they've actually tweaked it to where you have to play it the way it's designed or you won't be successful. So maybe I'm missing out. Oh, well.
Well, maybe you can pick it up on a after Christmas sale.
Maybe.
Or not. Whatever.
Or maybe they're going to do some crazy patch to Windows 8 where we can do some cross-platform. I'm doubting
Shit.
That.
Yeah, I'm doubting that too. What else, Chris? Anything else in the...
I had intended, I know the road to failure is paved with great intentions, but I purchased Mark of the Ninja and Torchlight 2 on the Steam Autumn sale, so I'm going to fire those up probably tonight.
Oh, yeah. Mark of the Ninja.
Have fun with that. Yes.
Ah, Mark of the Ninja.
Brilliant. Yeah, I got it for $4. Not bad.
That's so
not
good.
Not bad at all.
What a
steal.
What a game. Ah, man.
Okay. Well, Mike, since we have you talking, let's
Hi, Greg.
Continue on with you.
Yes. I have been mostly playing Assassin's Creed 3,
right.
Like Chris has. I'm a little bit farther than Chris, farther. I reckon Chris is about 6 hours in. I don't know what you say about that, Chris.
Yeah, maybe about that, yeah.
I reckon I'm about 28 hours in.
Okay.
That is farther.
Yes.
Yeah, it is farther.
So, I didn't like the start of the game where Chris has kind of gone through now. I think the first 6 hours is a bit of a tutorial.
It is a very long kind of intro.
Yeah,
yes.
And I think that's rough because they could have cut like some of the start of that and then just started at a certain point and it would have been fine, I think. But, you know, whatever. As the game progresses, I like it more and more. Because the game doesn't do a very good job of telling you that there's things available. And in fact, like, you know, because you can fast travel to your main missions, it's quite tempting to just go main mission, main mission, main mission.
So apparently I messed this up, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm going to anyway.
I interrupt you every time you talk, Chris.
I was finishing one of the missions. In fact, it was the mission where you had to sneak through the fort. And at the end of the mission... So in the previous Assassin's Creed game, either you would finish a mission and you would be already at the start of your next mission, or you could call a horse, like just whistle and a horse would come. I finished the mission and I was like, okay, where's the horse? No horse. So I just start running, and I literally just ran for 20 minutes to get to where the next mission started. I was like, oh, this is magical. So I don't know if I'm missing something. I did unlock some fast travel locations, but they're all in the city proper.
You can do a few things to fast travel. Sorry, carry on, Chris. I'm talking now.
Well, I was just saying I didn't really know what I was doing. So I was going to the Green Dragon Tavern, and there was a little arrow, a little down arrow behind it. I was like, oh, let's go see what this is about. And then I was in the Boston Underground, and I just started walking about, no idea why. And after about 5 minutes of exploring things, a very awkward fist fight with some drunk dudes, all of a sudden I had unlocked a new fast travel location. It's like, oh, okay, there we go. So apparently I don't know how to use the fast travel system. So Mike, tell me.
So you can fast travel to most of the main missions. You can fast travel to kind of, if you look on the map, you know where you have to exit the map to go to the frontier or New York or, you know, Boston or wherever. You can pick those locations, press A on them, and fast travel to them. But the weird thing is it doesn't... Right, so you're in the homestead, right? This is you, where you live, blah, blah, blah. And you want to fast travel to the frontier. You click the icon for the frontier, and you assume that it's just going to take you to the frontier. It doesn't. It takes you to the little area that you would walk through to go to the frontier. So you see a loading screen, then you... Still in the homestead, but you're right by where you would walk to the frontier. You walk through and you face with another loading screen. It's weird. So you can only fast travel to the points where you can change the area that you're in. You can fast travel if you use the little, there's little anchor icons that you unlock after a while that you can use to fast travel to places. And yes, like the little sewer places that you use, you can fast travel to those. But I don't use those very often. So, there is a bit of that, but also, to answer your question about the horse, if you hold the right bumper, which is now a loading screen to your weapons, which is annoying, you can have a horse. You can unlock a horse icon, and then I like quick save it to the down on the D-pad. So, every time I click down on the D-pad, I whistle my, like, the horse icon comes up, then I press Y. And then my horse comes, so you can snap to it on your weaponry. So you press RB, and the horse is there. Yeah. So you know you can just spawn up a horse. The one thing about horses, though, while I'm on the subject of horses, is they're fucking annoying. All right, because
yeah, they have been in all the Assassin's Creed games. The only game that's gotten horses right was Red Dead Redemption.
True.
So. Agreed.
And I'll tell you why Red Dead Redemption nailed it where Assassin's Creed doesn't. Not in the controls, the steering of them. Nothing like that. It's when you get off the horse. Because in Red Dead Redemption, you can tie them to a thing. You can hatch them or whatever. They're just done. Then they stay there. And they're there when you come back. The problem with the horses in Assassin's Creed is they follow you. Like weird, creepy stalker horses.
Yes.
And I was overtaking a fort, so I got off the horse, overtook the fort, and I was climbing over the walls, I was doing all these, you know, this is kind of like the first fort that I did, like, kind of in stealth, and I was, right, what, oh, a fucking horse is in the fort, walking by the wall that I'm behind, just following me, and all the guards are just thinking, well, what's that horse doing in here? And it just
That's odd.
Yeah. So I continued to shoot the horse in the head with an arrow. Horses are indestructible, by the way, I figured out. So the horse didn't get the hint. You know what I mean? I thought maybe if I did it two or three times, he'd run away. He'd think, maybe this guy is not good for me. I should go away. Right. No, just got up and just kind of continued to follow me around. And it's weird. I get freaked out now every time I stop for a little bit. And I check behind me, there's just a horse just appearing out of nowhere. So they're hard to get rid of, the horses. It's like a commitment with a horse. Yes, but the game is...
Great, now we're going to have PETA getting after us for animal cruelty.
Exactly.
Virtual animal cruelty.
Cease and desist.
The The game is good. The missions are fine. Some of the acting is mostly good. There's some homestead missions where you have to build kind of like where you have to build the economy of where you live. So you kind of recruit people. So there's, you can recruit a miner. You can recruit these people that grow their own vegetables and you can trade them. The trading system is bollocks. I still haven't worked it out how to do it. I've tried to do as many homestead missions as I can to get all this like income and people like lumberjacks in there, people that grow crops, a miner, a hunter, things like this. I thought maybe if I get all those, I can work out the trading system. No idea what's going on with the trading system.
See,
no
this
clue.
Is where I say bring back manuals, bring back the hard manual that has everything in it so you can just look it up.
No clue what was going on. I think what Chris was getting at when he had the game spoiled, was it the naval missions, Chris?
I haven't actually gotten to any of those yet. I haven't had, there was just the one, you know, where you're making the crossing, but that was just, that wasn't really a naval mission. You were just kind of on
right.
a boat. I'm on a boat.
So what happens, now I didn't know this, right, and I had to figure this out, but what happens is, see, this is the problem with the game. It's really good, but it doesn't explain things. So I was kind of in sequence 9.
6 hours. No, the comical part about this, Mike, is here this game is being kind of like railed for having this very long tutorial section.
Yeah.
And overly long, yet
yeah.
The common thread I hear from everybody is, but it really doesn't explain no. anything.
It's not really an overly long tutorial. It's an overly long intro.
Okay.
Because the tutorial is actually very brief. It's only the bit where you're on the boat. And then they're just kind of like, have at it. So I didn't mind it so much because it wasn't like it took you a long time to get all your skills. You kind of have all your skills right away.
No, you're still doing things, aren't you? You know, there's yeah. still missions, which is good. And I like, I don't know about you, Chris, but I like the very first opening. You know, the even though it's a little bit stupid that you're climbing on the balconies and everybody would see
oh,
you.
Oh, in the opera house, yeah. I love that you're climbing along like right, you know, under their noses, and then there's the two people making out. That was good.
So I mean, you know, I like that, and I get why that's the intro. It's quite visually interesting. It's showing off kind of like how many people they can have on screen, and so on and so forth. But yeah, so to go on your comment, Greg, it's, you know, 6 hours long tutorial, which, you know, it's a 6 hours long intro. Chris is right, and throughout the intro they kind of add in little, hey, you know, to do this you should press this button. So it feels like you're still learning the game, and you don't feel like you've got free reign for ages, you know, until you're kind of like a teenage version of Connor. So what happens, I'm 28 hours in, but when I was about 20 hours in, I started to learn more things. First of all, I didn't know how to recruit assassins, you know, on Brotherhood where you recruit the assassins,
right, right.
and you can call them in. I didn't know how
right,
to do
right,
that. I didn't know how to do it. So I have to look online on how to do it. There you go. The game is fucked when you have to look online for something.
That is a bit problematic.
It does explain, but it's really difficult the way it explains it. And to be honest, I was put off by the fact that I had to look online to figure it out. And then I got to sequence 9 or 10, and I remember people saying, like, I love the naval missions. This, you know, the naval missions are great. And I was like, I'm like sequence 9 and 10. Like, I should have done some more of those naval missions. And I couldn't work it out, and I was like, well, what am I doing? So I went to the anchor thing, which I thought was just a fast travel. And it turns out there's a load of naval missions in there. and I was doing them all, and they're all so good. Another thing where it doesn't explain, though, is the peg leg trinkets. Now, if you remember in Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood, there are certain areas, like underground layers, and it's basically a very linear version. It's like an assault course, if you will. And sometimes
right.
it's a chase, sometimes it's a puzzle, or like just a thing that you've got to climb through. And there weren't any of those in Assassin's Creed 3, and I got thinking, well, that's a weird, because I really liked that, you know? So what happens is, there's this guy called Pegleg, and he has a peg leg, and he wants these little trinkets that are located around all different locations. And I thought it was just a collectible. And to get to some of them are quite tricky. And it turns out, once you collect a certain amount of them, like 5 or 10, every time you collect so many, he'll give you a location of a bit of treasure. And it's all to do with Captain Kidd, and it's quite interesting. All right? And they are the equivalent of these underground layers, but instead of underground layers, they're little islands or forts or abandoned ships and stuff, and they're really cool, but easily missable. That's the problem. They're very easily missable. So, to you, Chris, what I will say is make sure you collect the peg leg trinkets things. You can buy maps
peg
for them.
Peg leg trinkets. Got it.
Because they're really cool. You can buy maps, so they're pretty easy to find. You just got to work out how to get there. No, I won't stop talking about Assassin's Creed 3, Greg. Because it's a current game.
Can't control me.
It's hip.
Yeah, I can control everyone.
It's hip. It's with it, you know. So, yeah, it's a good game, but it just does a poor job of explaining shit. It's just annoying. So I almost thought, I can't be fucked with collecting things. I'm just going to blitz through the story, but I didn't. And I'm glad I didn't, because I discovered those peg leg things. And that
I think they're just assuming that by now you probably have the trick and you're just going to go... You're either going to go exploring and find shit or you're not.
Mm. Yeah, and I'm a big fan of Assassin's Creed, and the whole hunting thing, Chris, I've never really got into it. Like, I have to deal with the animals now and again, and there are hunting missions, but those are the one mission strands that I find least interesting, is the hunting ones. I don't know, maybe that's just me, but like, because the way you fight a wolf or a bear or a fucking moose is so boring, it's just a quick time event.
Yeah.
So they jump, you press B, I just found that really stupid. So I just wasn't interested. I just wasn't interested in them.
All right, so we are going to cut the Assassin's Creed 3 conversation a little short now.
Or
so
not.
We can move on, because there's another game we have to talk about, which is Black Ops 2, Mike.
Play the multiplayer, call Call of Duty. What do you want?
Well, I also want to hear Mr. Primrose talk about it, because he's been playing a ton of Black Ops 2.
Yeah, I actually jumped into one of Mike's games.
Did you?
And got my arse handed to me at about 12:30 at night, and then he buggered off and didn't say anything to me. So.
Did you? When was that?
About 3 days ago. It's all right, Mike. You don't have to pretend that I wasn't there. Yeah.
Mate,
you killed me multiple times. You,
oh, really?
You yeah.
Didn't even know. I'm sorry, mate.
I can just see it now. Rich is running up to you. Hey, Mike, it's me. It's me.
Dude,
bam.
No, I was miles away.
Shot him through the head.
Yeah, we're playing Headquarters. Yeah, I've played loads of it. I've found a new toy that's excellent.
What's that?
But the hacking tool. Have you got that?
I haven't. No.
Right, it's one of your tacticals that you can get. So you've got like various, you know, where your flashbang normally goes and stuff like that. But eventually, you unlock a hacking tool. And what you can do is, if you use the engineer perk, which lets you see all of the enemy landmines and stuff that they've put down.
Yeah, all the equipment,
Yeah, you can basically see it through walls and all of that lot. If you can see the red dot, the red marker for where it is, you can get your hacking tool out and basically
take over it.
And convert it. So
fuck.
You can... It's
that's evil.
It's brilliant, because if you've got camping snipers, you can hack their bouncing betties, and then just shoot up the hallway so they think you're coming, and then they'll move towards their own better, and then it'll end up killing them. Excellent.
Wow.
Nice little tactical tool there. So have a play with that.
Never knew that one, because I do usually use that one where you can see the equipment, and I have unlocked it for one of my classes. So.
So, question for both of you guys. You know, I have not played enough Black Ops 2 to really form an opinion, but is this just more of the same? Is this a must-buy?
No.
Yeah, it's more of the same.
It is more of the same. It's good more of the same, but it's all right, you know. If you're gonna... How long did you play Modern Warfare 3 for? Well, Black Ops 1, for example, is probably a better comparison. Blops.
Well, I mean, I've played every Call of Duty game.
Did you stick with Blops for very long, or...?
No, surprisingly, the Treyarch games, I think, are the ones that I have stuck with the least amount of time, and the Infinity Ward games were the ones that I put more time on the multiplayer side in. That could change with this. I enjoyed
game.
The little bit of time I had.
It's a good game. It's there's nothing wrong with it. It's exactly what you expect, though. You know, it's exactly what.
Have either of you guys touched the single player yet?
No.
I have. I've done, well, I said the other week, didn't I? I've done about, I've probably done the first three levels on it. But I had that issue with the sound, which, incidentally enough, Shinyverse sent me a tip for. There's an option I can change. So I've yet to try that out, but, yeah.
Every spare moment I've had, I've been put into Assassin's Creed, so.
I've got to say, as far as the multiplayer is concerned, because of all the flexibility with all these perks that I'm finding new uses for, I'm finding it probably a lot more entertaining than any I've played in the last couple of years. And I think I'll definitely hold on to this one longer than I did the other one.
I traded Modern Warfare 3 in. I didn't like Modern Warfare 3. I didn't really like 2. You know, my favourite is still Call of Duty 4. I liked Blops 1. I liked World at War. But I've been struggling with all the others, to be honest.
Okay.
Just the way it is.
Just the way it is.
Yeah.
All right. Mike, anything else for you on your end?
I played that
Karateka.
Karateka. That's not bad.
It's not bad?
It's not bad at all. I'd get that on a discount now. I won't get it full price, but it's... for what it is, you know, you just go from left to right and you play one-to-one battles, but I thought it was good. All the little musical cues that it gives you to block, like it plays three notes, that means you've got to block three times. There's something, it's quite rhythmic, you know, the way the combat is, and it's kind of like a cutscene without like the button prompts, you know, you got to kind of think about it, and I know, I quite liked it. I don't know if I'd play it for more than like 2 hours, but I thought it was alright. I really didn't expect to like it, but it was decent, so yeah, that's about it.
Okay. Excellent. Mr. Primrose.
Yes.
I see games similar to what you played last week. Is it just a lot more of the same?
You've probably just seen that, Greg, because I've not been asked to fill out the show notes. So, yeah, that would read the same as last week.
Actually, you're always asked to fill out the notes. It's like a standing rule. You just choose to ignore it.
Just this week, because I had it. Soz, Dad!
I'll send you to your room with no supper.
Can I still have my pocket money, because I want to buy a game at the weekend? Yeah.
Only if you do your laundry. So what have you played this week,
yeah,
Rich?
I have continued to play Letterpress on the iOS device, and it's well worth playing.
Sure.
I didn't go into it much last week, but brief outline. It's more tactical than Words with Friends. You've got a grid, 5x5, random letters, and you have to make words up. Once you make a word up, it becomes a light blue colour, and you own that tile. But if somebody else makes a word up and uses that letter, it then becomes a red tile. But if you surround a letter with your blue tiles, then it goes dark blue, and that's locked then until somebody else surrounds it. And there is the tactics of the game. Simple, but absolutely really addicting.
So simple yet complicated.
Simple,
complicated,
yet
simple.
Yeah, so I put a call out basically to get a few people playing. So I've been playing with John Mouse from Play Vault, and I've also been playing with Blue Baru, Brian, and yeah, it's a really good game, excellent. I think it's just locked to the Mac devices though, because it links up to Game Center, so that's how you get people to play with you and stuff like that, so I'm suspecting it's to do with that. Also, I've played The Simpsons game, which is, it's an EA game and it's free, so something's telling me that Fox has paid them a shitload of money to put this out. I'm trying to...
Well, The Simpsons is the longest running television show in history or something like
that,
so...
But I've got a sneaky feeling this is going to turn into one of them evil games that feels like you're playing it on Facebook. But it is very entertaining for the first 5 or so minutes. So what you get is Homer Simpson has basically caused a meltdown at the power plant, and he's blown up Springfield. So you've got to rebuild Springfield and basically build the town up again. And whilst you're doing that, as you progress, you level up.
I'm sorry, Rich, I have to stop you there.
Yes.
As a nuclear engineer,
yeah,
it is my responsibility to inform the listeners, a nuclear reactor, while it can melt down and have some dire consequences, it cannot explode like a nuclear bomb. Physically impossible. Okay, continue, Rich.
So, Springfield's melted down. And, yeah, so Simpson's tapped out. What you've got to do is you can build up the place again. So it then becomes like a earn XP and earn money by doing certain tasks, and it will unlock characters. The dialogue and
it's like Farmville for
sort
Simpsons.
Of, yeah, sort of. That's what I'm getting the feeling of. But at the minute, it's entertaining enough to carry on playing it. So, but I think I'll probably get bored of it after a bit. So I've played that. Played loads of Blops. I'm not going to carry on with that.
Right.
And I've also jumped back into XCOM.
Yes, we still need to play multiplayer, Rich.
Well, I'm there. I'm there. I'm
dying to play multiplayer.
I put a lot of hours into XCOM over the weekend.
Have you finished it?
No, I've not finished it.
You don't have to play multiplayer, Rich. It's not a multiplayer game.
No. So I'm still finding single player very entertaining. And my mantra for this game is, if Steve Conger dies, that level gets replayed. Because Steve Conger is the darling of my squad, and I will not let him go. He will not die. He's my ultimate heavy. So I've been doing lots of research into the weapons and stuff. So I've started getting laser weapons. I think you can get higher ones after that, can't you? Plasma or...
Plasma weapons, yeah.
Yeah.
Plasma weapons.
Yeah, so I've been getting them guns and beefing up my armor. And I've just started running into the same beasties, but they've got different tactics. So... my tactics up until now that worked was basically softly, take cover, advance forward slowly. Well, I just had a level which was in Paris, and it's got them little critters that scamper around, and if they bite anybody, they turn them into zombies.
Chrysalids.
Yeah, so there's like 20 dudes scattered around this map, and if you didn't control them beasties quick smart, you quite... soon you're in Left 4 Dead territory and you're just surrounded by zombies. Now that was an evil level, but it beat it into me. I had to use it, so I rocked up with a squad full of dudes with rocket launchers and just blew the place to shit and didn't give a crap about the civilians. And that tactic seemed to work very well. So eventually I got through it, but unfortunately Pete Red Dog, who was my reserve heavy, he's not a patch on Steve Conger, but he bit the dust, unfortunately, because Steve Conger was laid up in hospital after a critical injury on his previous mission. Taking your advice from previously, Greg, I hit the grey market, and because I'd not realised I could do that, I had tons of broken computers. I was like one of these second-hand flea market stalls full of alien computers, so I just got a shot of a load of them and got myself plenty of dough. So I'm now, I've had two countries back out of XCOM. Once that they've backed out, they can't come back.
Exactly. Once they leave, they will not come back in.
Bummer. Damn you, Canada. No. Damn you.
So another important thing to watch when you're in that situation room and you're looking at the all the countries with their panic levels.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. In a sense, they group them into like North America, Europe, mm-hmm. Asia, Africa. If you can get all the countries in one area up with satellites, you'll get bonuses. And so it could be bonus engineers, it could be bonus money, whatever the case may be. There will be bonuses had.
You don't quite have that right. Every satellite, if you put a satellite over a country, say there's four countries in Europe. If you have one satellite up, you get bonus engineers and bonus scientists or something, whatever, whatever. If you get all of them covered, then you get the whatever bonus you would have gotten for putting your base in Europe when you started the game. Same thing with North America, South America.
Okay, got
it. And Asia, right?
So you do get a bonus, but it would be the bonus that you would have gotten for planting your base in that area.
Right.
Got it. Either way, it's good to get your satellites up for an entire region. So once you have one country leave a region, but maybe you have other areas that you're trying to put satellites up in, I'd focus on those other regions as opposed to, say, let's say you had one country leave Europe. Europe, in a sense, might be the last area that you put your satellites up in, unless there's a lot of panic level.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think, Chris, you said this before, but if you didn't say it, I'll iterate it now or say it myself, which is the Scilab. When you have that available to you, Rich, get it going as fast as you can.
Scilab. Okay, I'll remember that. Just a couple of other things about what I'm loving in the combat is I'm starting to use smoke a lot more. Finding that very useful. I've got a couple of support class people that any smoke that I use. Smoke's great for making the enemy miss. I love it. And it does often work if you're leaving your guys exposed. But also I've had an upgrade to it as well, so that it gives like better aiming to whoever is in the smoke. So if you've got a sniper in there.
Which makes perfect sense.
It's a really nice game. I like it. It's got so many different dynamics, and I love the way that it unlocks them all as you're gradually going through. So, for a dimwit like me, I'm constantly learning things nice and slowly. Excellent game. What else have I played? Have I played anything else? I don't think so. Okay. Pool Nation. Lots of Pool Nation. Love Pool Nation. Pool Nation is good.
Pool Nation is good. All right, well, on my end, finished Halo 4. We already talked about that. Finished up XCOM. Got to the final mission. I have to admit, I was a little disappointed the way XCOM ended. I guess I expected it to be a different kind of ending, and I don't know how you felt about it, Chris, when you finished XCOM, but to me it was it felt not really like an actual conclusion.
Yeah, I kind of had the same sense as if, the original XCOM ended with the mission to Mars and, like, you know, let's go get these bastards kind of thing.
Right.
This one ended similarly, although not quite as definitively. You know, you didn't really get the sense that it was a counterattack kind of a thing. Which leads me to believe maybe they're going to give some DLC to expand that storyline a little farther. Maybe a possible sequel. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're definitely going to go somewhere. Well, they kind of have to. I mean, that's really the only direction they can go with it. And maybe that's why they left it the way they did. But I agree also. The final mission, this is one area where I felt XCOM should have opened up even more squaddy slots for you. Because just taking six members on that quote-unquote final mission, considering where you were going, and again, I'm trying to avoid spoilers, so I'm being very vague. Considering where you were going, what you were up against, just taking six dudes or six, you know, a combination of dudes and chicks and robots, you know, you would be taking much more than that.
I don't know. I mean, you're limited to, so maybe in reality, yes, you'd probably launch a larger mission.
Yeah.
But I mean, why gameplay wise did you feel like you needed more people?
I guess this is the way playing it on the difficulty level that I was on, which I think it was just on normal. It still felt like it was almost a mission of attrition. That's okay. It was almost kind of like a mission of attrition, and I ended up replaying the final mission because I failed on my final mission the first go round, and the feeling on the whole final mission felt a little I would have liked a little bit better intel on what I was going up against, what I was going to be expecting to do in there.
So you wanted them to do a full scan, a la Star Trek, of the ship and let you know everything.
Exactly.
Use some technology that didn't exist. Maybe call ahead of time, schedule.
Hey, I had been researching technology that didn't exist this entire time. So, to think that I might not, have technology. I mean, I had technology now that told me what kind of aliens and stuff were on the UFOs I was shooting down. So yeah, why couldn't I have technology to tell me what I was going to be facing?
Those weren't
going at this final.
Those weren't the types of ships, man. That big boss bad ship.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is let it be easy. I got it. Okay.
No, I found it certainly challenging. But I also found if you got to a certain point and things went a little sideways for yourself, I tried to push on through that, and the reality was there's no way you could push on through that if you have certain things happen to your squad. You lose a few men on your squad halfway into that mission, you're toast. Whereas in other missions, you might have been able to fight through it.
Well, there's an easy solution to that, Greg.
Don't lose the men. I know. Yeah. The other helpful hint when you do get to that final mission is to really think through on really think through on your squad that you're going to be sending on that mission, and whether it's going to be human versus robotic, and whether they're going to be more than human or just soldiers.
So we're allowed to talk about this game for so long.
Oh, just pipe down, Mr.
It's
Assassin's
been out for a while.
Good point.
All right. Three.
Makes a fair,
it's fair enough, makes fair enough, fair enough. Last game on my list, I literally fired it up because I wanted to talk about it today, which is Hitman Absolution.
Assassin's Creed 3.
Yes, Hitman Absolution.
And?
It is Hitman. It is hard. I'm playing it on hard difficulty, so I didn't want to play it on just normal, so I notched it up one ratchet, and
right.
It is challenging to say the least.
Okay.
One of the things I'm not liking is it doesn't appear, and again, I'm only about 3-4 missions into it, but I don't believe I can pick the guns or my equipment that I get to take with me on my mission.
You call them
where... Yeah, you used to be able to do blood money, and at first I didn't think too much about it, but in some of the later missions where you're actually kind of, you know what you're going to be doing, you kind of start thinking, God, it would be helpful to have this or that, that kind of weapon, and you don't have that sense of collecting weapons, so you're always kind of, you're given what you're given, and you have to make do with it, and I kind of find that a little counterintuitive to what a hitman would really be doing. A hitman, if he knew he had a mark and he was going after him, he would pretty much have himself loaded out for what he believed the job would require. Whereas in this game, it seems like I get thrown into some situations where I'm carrying a weapon that, quite honestly, I don't think the hitman would ever carry. But here a snub-nosed 38. Why would a hitman ever have a snub-nosed 38 if he's going on a hit? No silencer, nothing.
He might have been an ex-police officer, about 50 years old, wears a trench coat a lot.
He might have been, yeah. But, it's still very enjoyable. I think this is probably going to appeal to a more niche group of people. This game is all about trial and error. You will get into these situations. You will probably be restarting your missions often because when things go sideways and your disguises start being recognized or discovered, it goes to heck in a handbasket real quickly. And again, this is one of those games where, especially playing on the hard difficulty, it seems like the fun factor lessens when you're trying to run around to escape because you've got recognized. This game is immensely more fun when you are in that sneaky, stealthy mode of going through and trying to figure out how to do it. But when you screw up or you get recognized because the AI, it's a punishing. I mean, they start seeing through your costume pretty quickly. And I'm probably doing a horrible job of explaining what the game is. You play the role of an assassin, and the game starts you off with an introductory mission that kind of gives credence to you being a likable assassin, because oddly enough, you're a hitman. You just kill people for a living. It's Agent 47, who's the main character, isn't a terribly likable character. He's very dry, no nonsense, and you're sent on this hit. You're killing somebody you knew, and so that's all in the introductory kind of tutorial section. It does a nice job of walking you through, but they give you a reason to like Agent 47 after that, and a reason for you to be going off and basically becoming a mass murderer, because that's in reality what the Hitman 47, Hitman, he is just, he will kill a bunch of people in this game. And you can kill civilians. You will get penalized for it, but it won't be a game over kind of situation. From a visual standpoint, I don't think there's been a better Hitman looking game. Visually, it looks fantastic. Every once in a while, it kind of goes back to its roots of having a little bit of that blockiness. And there certainly still is some of the funky ragdoll physics that happen when, say, you kill somebody, you're trying to drag their body somewhere.
Hitman was always known for its ragdoll physics, though.
Yes. They're here in spades. You still get that.
So as soon as you shoot someone, they just fly or just flop down or whatever. That always happened in Hitman.
Oh, yeah. And you can drag them and hide their bodies. And that's probably when you see the ragdoll physics play even more into, being odd and funny, because, like, their legs sometimes will get stuck on objects and they'll kind of flop over in an awkward way. And it's creepy and funny all in the same breath. The voice acting is also hit and miss. Early on, I wasn't really
enjoying it.
Early on, I wasn't really enjoying it as much. I felt it felt a little stiff for certain parts. But I just came across a villain character in one of the missions I'm on, and thoroughly enjoyed his performance so far. So, I think there's promise that this game is going to just it'll be entertaining. It is difficult, though. I don't want people to think this is going to be an easy game if you're going to try and play it on something harder than normal. It is going to be a challenge constantly. And they have a contracts mode, and this is the last thing I'll talk about in the game. It's their version of multiplayer. And basically, you go back into missions that you've played, and you can target somebody. And it doesn't have to be the person you were trying to kill before. You will target somebody randomly in the game, or in the map, if you will, and you put out the hit on them. You conduct the hit, and in a sense it gives like a leaderboard score, and then you broadcast that off to your friends, and your friends can then go in and try and beat
score. That's cool. I like the sound of that.
Person you did. Yeah. That's the other part about it. And you can dictate, I believe, on what kind of weapons have to be used, that kind of thing. So it definitely has a very cool kind of take on multiplayer. The whole asynchronous thing, I think, works really well for this game. I don't think Hitman would have been good if they tried to go with some kind of traditional multiplayer. Even Assassin's Creed 3 kind of multiplayer, I don't think would have really worked here. Mm. So, but anyway,
hey,
that's pretty
much. I'm looking forward to Hitman, sorry. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I am.
Assassins.
Yeah, I'm just assassinating it up at the moment.
You are?
Yeah.
I hear a puppy dog.
Yes.
That would be a shih tzu.
No need to swear. Right.
Yeah, bless you.
Cha-lo-lo.
Yeah. All right, that's it for games. Let's move on to some new releases. All right, so new release time. It looks like we might start tapering down a little bit on new releases.
Yeah, I think so.
When the Wii pretty much have everything out that's going to be coming out anytime soon. Over to the 3DS, American Mensa Academy. Yeah, no clue. Kids learn and play pets and vets. And on the DIYware eShop, you've got Arrow Porter. Moving over to the PS3, Ratchet & Clank Full Frontal Assault comes out this week to the retail shelves. On the PSN, you've got Ace Combat Assault Horizon, Fighting Vipers, Men in Black Alien Crisis, Ratchet & Clank Full Frontal Assault, Sonic the Fighters, and Virtual Fighter 2. On the demo front, you've got LEGO Lord of the Rings and Ratchet & Clank Full Frontal Assault. And DLC this week for the PS3, you've got Just Dance 4, Gangnam Style, and Mass Effect Omega. On the Vita this week, if you've got a Vita, there's nothing for the retail shelves, but you do have a game on the PSN, Phineas and Ferb Across the Second Dimension. And transitioning over to the Xbox 360, no new releases this week on the retail shelves, but we do have some Xbox Live Arcade stuff. Fighting Vipers, Sonic the Fighters, and Virtual Fighter 2. And they're all discounted, basically $5 a piece. So there you have it. I didn't even see that. They're going for cheap. Demos this week on the Xbox 360, LEGO The Lord of the Rings, and DLC Dance Central 3, Gangnam Style, and Mass Effect 3 Omega. PC and Mac, Mass Effect 3 Omega, Miner's War 2081.
He's a beard,
son. Not really. Rocksmith Parliament, Give Up the Funk, Tear the Roof Off, Sucker. Super Hexagon and Total War Shogun 2 Automo Clan Pack, all out for the PC. And yeah, that's it for new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Alright guys, news time, and of course, news quiz. And we've got a special little treat for you guys at the very end of the news quiz. So let's dive into the news quiz first and foremost. Let's see, Mr. Matthew, how many units did the Wii U sell in its first week of sales in the U.S.? Was it A, 400,000, B, 600,000, or C, 850,000?
650, was that the second choice?
It's the second choice.
Yeah, we'll go with 650.
650?
Yeah.
Only 400,000 units.
Oh, no.
Yeah, now, to compare that, Nintendo sold 300,000 Wii consoles when it first came out.
Oh.
So,
I guess that's not so bad then.
I apologize. 475,000 for when the Wii launched. So it's up there, though. It's close. I guess over the same period of time, it's reported that Nintendo sold 300,000 Wii consoles and 500,000 portable devices. So they didn't do too bad over the course of the weeks of the Wii U launching.
Wait. So the same week that they launched the Wii U, they sold 300,000 Wii consoles?
Yes.
Huh.
That's not good news.
Well, again, remember, the Wii U launched in and around Black Friday, so I think probably part of that came later.
Black Friday.
So here's some interesting news. Mr. Primrose, heels of the Wii U launch, what other new hardware has Nintendo announced? Is it A, a premium gold Wii U pad, B, a Wii Mini, or C, a Wii U balance board?
B, a Wii Mini.
Yes. Nintendo has announced a $99 Wii Mini.
Wow.
It's going to be exclusively in Canada through the holidays. It goes on sale December 7th. But the Wii Mini does not include internet connectivity and isn't compatible with GameCube discs. Yeah. It's based on a small Wii Mini box.
Oh, my God.
Black and red, and it comes with a red Wiimote plus controller, sensor bar, a power adapter, and standard composite cables. So there you have it.
Jesus.
If you want any for $100 that doesn't do a lot, you can get one after December 7th in Canada. All right. Mike.
Hello.
What feature will be missing from BioShock Infinite according to Gen Twitter?
Okay.
Is it A, multiplayer, B, save anywhere features, or C, asynchronous leaderboard play?
I'm going to go with multiplayer.
Yeah, no. BioShock Infinite will not have multiplayer, according to Endless off Twitter. Yeah. You know, there's not much more to really to say here other than, you know, the player on BioShock 2 had a lot of people gave it some praise, so interesting that they're backpedaling from that.
Huh.
Speaking of backpedaling, Matthew, what feature will not be part of Lara Croft's bag of tricks in the upcoming Tomb Raider reboot? Is it A, swimming, B, wall climbing, or C, regenerating health? Mr. Matthew?
Chris?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, hey, what's up? Man. Intellectually, I want to say that she won't have regenerating health because that would be not swimming and not wall climbing would seem like not a Tomb Raider game, but that's too easy. So let me go with not swimming.
That would be correct, yeah. Hmm. Or Croft, not going to have swimming mechanic in Tomb Raider.
Seems odd.
Outrageous.
Yeah. One can only wonder why. Maybe it was just something that they didn't have a good system for yet.
Yeah, it's probably the same reason they don't have any ladders in the Fallout New Vegas, because they couldn't figure out how to do it.
It happens. It happens. Rich, what did Hitman Absolution debut at in the UK top 10? Is it A, second, B, third, or C, seventh?
I'm going to say not seventh. Did you say third?
Second or third?
Yeah, I'm going to go third.
Well, let's just see how you did there. At number 10 was Dishonored. Number 9, Need for Speed Most Wanted. Number 8 was Skylanders Giants. Number 7 was Just Dance 3. Number 6 was Lego Lord of the Rings. Number 5 was Halo 4. Number 4 was Assassin's Creed 3. Number 3, FIFA 3. And number 2, Hitman Absolution.
Mm.
And Call of Duty 2 came in at... You were close.
Can FIFA I just say, 3. On the retail side of things, to do with like the Wii U, because you've just been on about that... Firstly, I've been doing a lot of shopping around game shops. I was at Bullring in Birmingham, Mike's territory, yesterday. Wii U is non-existent in shops. I can't see it anywhere. I can't walk into a shop. I can't try it. Do you know what I mean? What's going on?
It's not being carried at all, or
no, it just doesn't seem to be promoted anyway. You go into Toys R Us, and the only thing they've got on any sort of stand that you can play on or buy is the Wii. I think they've got, you know, like the Wii U games. They've got them in boxes, but it just looks like a whole wall of Wii stuff. There's no consoles or empty console boxes lying around anywhere, you know, to promote it. It's unbelievable. I don't know what's going on. Don't know. Can anybody enlighten me? Is it what's it like in America? Is it same? Or?
I haven't even been to a shop recently, so I wouldn't know even if it's around where I'm by.
It's very bizarre. I've seen a couple of adverts on telly, and that's it. It strikes me as very strange.
I will say the advertising hasn't been as heavy as I thought it would be. Not like the Wii. When the Wii came out here in the States, I saw those guys in the door. Was it Miyamoto? And I forgot the other guy's name, but they were at the door, you know, saying, do you want to play? And we saw those things for months, and it was heavily advertised. I have not seen that kind of advertising for the Wii U yet.
Apparently, the Wii U doesn't come out until the 30th in Europe.
Well, that might explain also why you haven't seen a lot.
It's still bizarre. I just thought you'd have some sort of promotion for it in the shops. I can remember when the 3DS was coming out, and they had lots of promotional things around for that, but it doesn't seem like there's anything like it on this one.
Okay. All right, I think, Mike, you are up next. Fitch Ratings last week put what company's rating status at junk level? Is it A, THQ, B, Sony, or C, EA?
Say that question again.
So the Fitch Ratings company's system board, it's a system, a rating system for stocks and bonds for companies.
Right.
Last week, put what company's rating status at junk level?
Junk level.
Is it THQ, Sony, or EA?
THQ, because aren't they worth like really poor now, like 8 million, which is bad?
THQ certainly has been doing bad, but it was not THQ, Mike.
Yes.
Sony's credit rating has been cut to junk status by Fitch Ratings. Another major ratings agency, Moody's, dropped Sony to one notch above junk earlier this month. Business Week reports Fitch cited a laundry list of issues for the downgrade, which included Sony's current financial situation. The quote is, the downgrade reflects Fitch's belief that the meaningful recovery will be slow, given the company's loss of technology leadership in key products, high competition, weak economic conditions in developed markets, and strong yen. In a sense, what they're saying is they don't believe Sony can recover without a major restructuring, and thus why they have them at a junk level.
Yeah, but what do Moody's know? I mean, that they downgraded the United States government credit rating. Surely the United States government will always pay their debts.
Right. Mr. Matthew, that takes me to you.
Sweet.
With the last question. Fresh off of Black Friday, how many Xbox 360 units reportedly sold during the Black Friday week? Is it A, 450,000, B, 750,000, or C, 960,000?
How many Xboxes? 750,000. The more important question, Greg, how many people died trying to get one?
As far as I know, the casualty level was relatively low. But there may have been one or two. But yes,
I did hear about a dude who tried to shoplift from Walmart. I don't remember what he was shoplifting, but some Walmart employees detained him, and he died in the parking lot.
Serious?
Not even making that up.
Wow.
And this is why I'm saying, people, don't go shop on Black Friday. Stay home.
Be safe.
Just enjoy Thanksgiving with your family and eat leftover turkey sandwiches and all those great things. It's just not worth it. All right, I'm sorry. That's my public service announcement for the day.
It's okay. Now, I will say, go out on Black Friday. Enjoy it. Buy stuff, because I got Forza Horizon for $15.
Yeah, I don't go out on Black Friday. I refuse. My brother was going to go to Walmart.
I don't blame you.
On Black Friday to buy FIFA, and I told him not to. I said, I'll buy you FIFA. Stay away from Walmart on Black Friday.
Okay, so next year,
I
promise not to go out on Black Friday if you buy me a game.
All right, fine.
Sweet.
All right, we're going to transition over now to a little something fun I cooked up. And this is a direct ripoff from GameSpot's midweek podcast.
You heard it here.
Yep, and it's Guess the Game using the ESRB ratings summary.
Oh, I thought you were going to have us ask questions about the cover again. Please no.
No,
please.
No. So I'm going to read you a summary of a game. I have purposely removed certain keywords, which I will just say blank, and you have to guess what game this is. Now, these are all more or less current games, either out now or just coming out. So nothing crazy from 5 years back, and nothing that hasn't come out yet that you wouldn't know about. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I can't tell you. I think one of these is going to be relatively easy compared to the other two. But Mike, you are up first.
Okay.
Here is the summary. So this is an action game in which players assume the role of Blank, a demon slayer fixated on avenging the destruction of his family. Players use melee weapons, swords, scythes, and firearms to attack demon hordes in frenetic melee-style combat.
Melee.
Battles are accompanied by realistic gunfire explosions and slow motion effects. Large blood splashes occur often as enemies are dismembered and or killed. Cutscenes also depict intense acts of violence, a giant boss creature chopped to pieces by fan blades, a character getting shot through the stomach, Blank holding up a monster's severed head, a dramatic impaling. Some scenes also depict sexual activity, scantily clad strippers dancing, gyrating provocatively with each other, a woman moving her head towards Blank's lap, fellatio is implied. During one cutscene, moaning sounds can be heard while a female character is bent over a table. A man is positioned behind her, though there is no actual depiction of a sexual act. A handful of still images, i.e. concept art, portray the woman with exposed breasts and or buttocks.
A Kingdom for Keflings. No.
No. Let me just finish up okay. here. The phrase crack whore and the words such as...
Yeah, it is Kingdom for Keflings.
Can be heard in the dialogue. Mike, what game is this we're talking about?
I don't really know. I'm going to go with God of War, but I don't think it is.
I think it's the clone of God of War.
Dante's Inferno?
No.
I'll stick with God of War. I don't know.
Not God of War. It would be Devil May Cry.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But you were on the right track. I mean, God of War is about as...
It was the shooting combat like that got me. That's why I knew it wasn't God of War, but like that was the closest, because, you know, you have sex with women in it and all sorts. But I didn't really know Devil May Cry was like that, to be honest.
Oh, there you go. All right. Rich, you are up next. Are you ready, my friend?
Ready.
All right. This game is an action game in which players control Blank, a rogue assassin attempting to rescue a girl from various factions. From first and third person perspectives, players use machine guns, shotguns, sniper rifles, and explosives to complete mission objectives and kill human adversaries. Players also employ stealth tactics, e.g. strangling and slicing characters' throats from behind, to eliminate adversaries at close range. Violent encounters are accompanied by realistic gunfire and explosions. Large blood splatter, pooling effects, and slow-motion attacks. Non-adversary characters can be injured or killed at will, e.g. throwing a bomb into a crowd of civilians. Though this may negatively affect players' scores, in one level, players discover the dead bodies of none characters, with blood splattered on their clothing and in the hallway. The actual killings are not depicted. Other intense sequences include the use of a wood chipper to dispose of dead bodies, streams of blood gibbs are depicted, and an interrogation scene depicting a security guard beaten up by villains. The game includes suggestive sexual material. One level takes place inside a strip club, which depicts women dancing on poles or performing lap dances in front of male clients. Some strippers wear small pasties over their nipples. Other sexual material includes female characters briefly reaching for a man's groin and a woman stripping down to lingerie in front of Blank, e.g., I love a hard man. During some missions, characters can be observed snorting cocaine off of a table or smoking from a bong near a marijuana plant. And then the words, I think you get the gist of it. Do you need to hear the words?
Yeah, I want to hear the words, Greg.
The words fuck, shit, pussy, and cocksucker can be heard in the dialogue.
Seven words you can't say on television.
Yes.
In America.
Yes.
You've just got to go for the obvious ones, really, haven't you? I'll say some... I don't think it's Grand Theft Auto 4, but... what about that other one? Sleeping Dogs. Let's go for that, because I've not played it. And it sounds like it might be something like that.
That actually would be Hitman Absolution.
I thought, well, you know when it said the nuns, but I thought, no, that's Johnny Obvious, that is. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Well, Greg would have edited that out, because he's such a boss squaw when he does quizzes. Anyway, come on.
All right. Chris, you are last up. Maybe you can get this one.
Okay.
This is a first-person shooter in which players assume the role of Blank, a vacationing thrill-seeker whose friends have been captured by pirates. As Blank attempts to rescue his companions, players use machine guns, flamethrowers, explosives, and melee attacks, to kill human enemies in frenetic combat. Players can also perform stealth attacks to sneak up on enemies, e.g. using a knife to stab them from behind at close range. Battles are accompanied by realistic screams of pain, gunfire, and large explosions. Injured enemies emit large splashes of blood when injured. Some cutscenes and interactive sequences depict more intense acts of violence. Character stabbed in the neck, head, and chest. A restrained character slit in the throat. A man climbing through a mass grave of mutilated corpses. In one sequence, a villain cuts off the character's finger. In another, a restrained character is beaten during an extended interrogation. As the game progresses, a handful of scenes depict Blank's interactions with a topless female character. A cutscene depicts sexual activity between them, i.e., the brief sequence portrays the female character from a first-person perspective, though no genitals are depicted. Illegal drugs are occasionally referenced in the game, and one scene depicts a man smoking a marijuana joint. The words fuck, shit, and cunt can be heard in the dialogue.
Can't say those words on television either.
You can't say that word. The ladies hate that word.
I'm sure I've never played this game, because I don't recall ever playing a game in which my friends were kidnapped by pirates. I'll throw a stab out there. Far Cry.
It's a great stab. Which Far Cry?
How many have there been?
Three total.
This number three then, sure.
Yeah, there you go. Far Cry 3.
I am the smartest man alive.
Apparently you are.
I'm kidding. So I looked that up on Google. I just typed in the first three words of the thing and found it.
Cheating bastard.
I figured a first-person shooter, vacationing thrill-seeker whose friends have been captured by pirates. I figured if I could find those words together anywhere, it would only be there. So I did.
And yes, you did. Well played, well played.
I can't say well played.
Well cheated.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, Greg. That's all I'm saying.
This is the American way. All right. Let's take our show break now, guys, and when we bounce back from it, we're going to hit the community mailbag, and we'll speed through the last part of this podcast, because we're starting to run a little long here.
Yes.
All right, we are back from the break and diving into the question of the week, which was a pretty simple one this week. We just wanted to get some ideas for end-of-the-year awards categories that you might want us to consider, the listeners. And so we had a few responses. I know Gate had quite a few, if I'm not mistaken. So, Mr. Matthew, why don't you take over on that end?
I will attempt to do it justice. Bousy says, best first-person shooting weapon, best game storyline moment. Denver J says, 1, best game that used Claptrap for comedy relief. 2, best downloadable content. 3, best commercial for a game. 4, best random characters from the shift key in the numbers row implying swearing. Moment, open parens, probably a good write-in topic, close parens. 5, I can't count, forget it. Best use of or in a podcast that talks about games. You forgot Jay. Roguespear69 says, GOTY weapons. Steak knife versus screwdriver versus axe versus fiber wire. I sell perfection. Wink. Hitman Absolution equals game of the year for me. Where else do you get to throw a steak knife like a ninja, position drugs, poison drugs and food, set people on fire, electrocute people, car bomb, blow up and shoot targets with insane high power weaponry, throw people off buildings and make it all look like an accident, smiley face. I'll tell you where else, Rogue Spear, New York. Worst hangover from Ginge Ninge says, worst hangover from playing the drinking game from a podcast. Funniest line from a game. Biggest moan by insert member name here about insert general game grievance here while you're having an amazing game, which means you're probably the host. Biggest, and no one's actually stopped to say, this idea is mental. Curiosity, Mars Science Lab. But so were they getting up at 2 a.m. to watch live. Biggest male chicken rising by a game company this year. Okay. Yeah. Parsnip Notes has a lengthy list for us.
Holy smokes.
Best music soundtrack. Best person with a vegetable for a nose recording a community spotlight. I didn't realize that Bongo the Sane had a vegetable for a nose. Worst game of the year. Biggest letdown of the year. Best weapon. Sexiest in-game character. Most compelling game story. Most innovative use of system resources, e.g. a leap in artificial intelligence or doing something in a completely new way. Funniest in-game moment, worst time sync, best achievements, worst achievements, most difficult achievement, best box art, best limited edition incentive, metal case, artworks, books, DLCs, trinkets, etc. Most surprising success, a game you didn't think you would like, which turned out to be really good. Then, obviously, they cover the best from each genre, FPS, fighting, driving, etc. And then he continues, maybe we should have an end-of-the-year G4TE member awards just for fun. Most notorious camper, best and worst kill-death ratio, most prolific game session hoster, etc., etc. I think we had something like this back for the Zulu squad back then. And he continues.
My God.
Here we go. These are the Zulu squad awards. CP might remember these from 2009. Maybe we need some community-based awards like these. Bad Penny, the member who always turns up rain or shine. Couch Potato, always online no matter what. Be My Guest, most prolific game host. Iron Man, member with the best current Call of Duty kill death ratio. Lead Foot, most accomplished racer. Modern Wallflower 3, worst kill death ratio. Party Animal, most prolific Xbox Live party starter. Shameless, has the most dreadful games in their games played list. Sand in My Face.
Alternate.
Spends more time in the gravel than on the track. I don't know. You'd have to look at some of the most recent GamerScore challenge people because some of them have played like My Little Pony. And anyway, Swiss Cheese, most prolific bullet sponge, and best car tuner. Can anyone think of more? Is this something anyone would be interested in? 12, funniest moment on the podcast.
Well, clearly that there's just one that ranks up for that one.
Huh?
It all starts and ends with Richard Primrose.
Okay. I don't know if that's the funniest moment. Maybe that's a secondary drinking game. There's the drinking game, and there's the snort drinking game. So you take a drink on the and you have to finish your drink on a snort or something crazy like that.
I don't know. I'm pretty I think realizing Rich is sound asleep during the podcast is pretty damn funny.
Yeah, but that's happened so many times.
That's true. That is true. All right. thank you for that, Chris. Wow, Parsnip. I think he had a lot in his mind today.
When his mind gets to wandering, it's just you just got to let it go.
Yeah, apparently. All right. We did have some tweet responses. Rich, if you would be so kind.
Yes. Just start one that came in with PG Tips, and he was just sharing his joy with the fact that the podcast was out, and he put, OC podcast on a Wednesday. It's like getting a new game the day before release. And then OC podcast Twitter responded, and then realizing it's Army of Two.
Damn.
And then Pete Red Dog, he was answering the question of the week, and he put the stupidest decision by Sony of the year. So, yes.
I like his thought, but I think we could potentially expand that out and just kind of look at all the different console makers or gaming companies and get some of the worst ideas or decisions and rank them. Maybe to go that route. Mm-hmm. I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, carry on. Sorry.
Okay. I'm working the wrong way up this list.
I know. You're going bottom up. That's
yeah,
okay.
Well, I thought about that because of the last one and what it was. So Gamox14 put, tricky one. How about best three games of this console cycle? Sharp intake of breath. And then he put another one.
Yeah, he had three different Twitter responses for us.
This is quite an interesting one. This is for a potential question
I
of the week.
I think this actually might be question of the week for next
week,
to be honest.
Do you want me to leave this one out?
Well, we can say it,
okay.
And then we'll use it for next
week.
And
we'll put it on the
we'll discuss it. Yeah.
Yeah. Has a bug or a glitch ever turned you off a game that you were otherwise excited for? Heard a few people about say this about Assassin's Creed 3. And then after that,
question.
Yeah, that's it. That's a good one. And then after that, Gamox went on to say, been having some annoying glitches on Halo 4, having to replay some sections. Again.
Yeah, so that was interesting. I haven't experienced any glitches in Halo 4 that I found that kind of kept me from continuing on. But I don't know. Anybody else encounter that? Chris?
No, the only one is I finished it on Heroic and I didn't get the achievement for finishing on Heroic, but I think that's because I stopped mid-mission to pick up someone for co-op and then restarted at the same point, and so somehow I need to go back and replay the section in between those sections to fill it.
Got
or
it.
Whatever. Anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. All right, so that pretty much does it for the Twitters. We did get an email, ironically, from Parsnip. And he actually sent this over to me in particular, but I wanted to throw this out there because I thought it was an interesting question, which was, he knows I work for a company in advertising. And so he said, his question for me, but I want to throw it out to you guys as well. What is your favorite current advertising campaign and why? He cites the current DirecTV campaign where the cable subscribers become subject to a long list of unfortunate incidents. Don't let this be you. Don't subscribe to cable.
Oh, those are pretty good.
Those are very good.
Don't sell your hair to a wig shop. Yeah.
Yeah. We had an advertising campaign for, I want to say it was State Farm, where there was this giant alien robot coming through and just obliterating this this quiet neighborhood town street. It's like your typical pick a fence neighborhood street, and there's these two guys kind of like sitting back, almost like watching it, like they're eating popcorn type thing. And they're like, oh, that's Ted's house. That robot really doesn't like Ted. And the robot's like literally destroying the house. And it's just, it's a very, very funny commercial. So that's the one that stuck out in my mind. You guys have any particular ad campaigns? I mean, I don't know anything that's going on in the UK, but maybe there's something funny that's or effective.
Advertising what? Anything?
Sure. Talking about insurance.
Greg just talked about advertising insurance.
Cable TV.
Yeah. I can't think of anyone. Primrose?
I love the WKD
adverts.
Oh, man,
somebody's drunk right now.
Yeah.
What are they at the moment? I remember seeing one recently.
Well, I'll go back to a classic one. So WKD ads are basically an Alco Pop, but they're trying to encourage blokes to drink it, so they've got various adverts to do with different scenarios. And there's a great one where there's a guy who's in the pub, and he's obviously trying to stop his wife from knowing that he's at the pub, so his mobile phone goes, and there's like obviously an unspoken agreement. So as soon as his phone starts ringing, the whole of the music in the pub turns off and everybody goes completely silent, and there's no noise whatsoever. And then he starts talking to his wife, and he's like saying, yeah, I've had to work late, honey, and I'll be back shortly. And then the landlord's just walking past with a Hoover to make it look like he's the office cleaner and that. So they're pretty cool. There's some good ones of the WKD ads. I like them. Mike, you got any?
I can't really think of any.
It's okay.
I don't really watch too much TV, to be honest.
Not to worry. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I don't have anything to add to this, Greg.
I'm sorry, Mr. Matthew. I completely skipped over you. Do you have something funny or entertaining?
I want to hear
from you.
No, I think
that's me being distracted.
I think the Allstate Mayhem commercials win hands down.
Oh yeah, those are really good. What's the guy? Do you know the actor's name that does those?
No, not off the top.
He's hysterically funny. Yeah,
he is.
He just plays the role of chaos, and he just causes all kinds of wrecks and stuff, and he's just talking through it in just such a matter-of-fact kind of they're definitely worth watching on YouTube.
Sweet.
On that note, we have a voicemail from Mr. Steve Conger.
Really?
Yes, we do.
Oh, I've got to punch the button for this.
Yeah, we should cue that up.
All right, here we go. All right, let's see what this is.
Hey guys, it's Jeff of Lifelight and Steve. Just calling to let you know that I picked up the Wii U, and I am digging it. It is it's a neat piece of kit. I think there are some probably glaring holes at the beginning, at launch because of no Nintendo TV until December. No streaming sort of apps, things like that. None of that until later. But the tablet controller is pretty nifty. I don't know if there is a sort of seminal experience yet, but it is kind of cool to just be able to take your game into the other room and not really miss a beat. Pretty cool. But the neatest thing that I think so far is the Steamverse. That is the supposed social network that Nintendo has built for just their system. And let me tell you, it's pretty cool. You have a problem with a game, like say you're stuck on something, you make a post in the proper games community sort of timeline thread, and within 30 seconds you get somebody else say, hey, I've been there, I did that, why don't you try this? And things like that. You post screenshots, you can do all that. A lot of the things that you can do in sort of a Steam-like environment. So it's pretty neat. And I will say that I kind of panicked, man, when I went. I saw the review scores for Zombie U, and I withdrew the Zombie U money and bought Super Scribble Mods instead, along with the Super Mario Brothers U and obviously the packed-in Nintendo Land, the 32 gig. So, I don't know, kind of neat, but I'll give you a little report. And I have no idea what the question of the week is because the past weekend was nuts for baby stuff. And I would like to just let everybody know that Lisa and I are having a little boy. And we found that out at the anatomical ultrasound over the weekend. And his name is going to be Jacob Samuel. So we've had names picked out for God knows how long. But, yeah, we're excited. We're over the moon. So hopefully maybe this gave you a little bit of discussion, you know, some points that you can kind of go through. If not, sorry about your luck. So have a great show, and I will talk to you later on.
I was just thinking there that Steve was probably using his on-battlefield radio transmitter there to broadcast that message. But it's good to see that he's got things to do when he's not killing aliens. So, cheers.
Congratulations,
it
Steve, on the
yes.
Oh, I
boy.
See. You're talking about XCOM. I was like, what the hell is he talking about? Okay, I got it. Yes, congratulations. Congratulations, Jeff and Lisa, on the little boy.
Lol. Yeah. Jacob Samuel, it's a strong name.
It is.
Jacob.
A powerful name.
Well, the name Jacob. Yeah. Reminds me of Lost a little bit, but it's good.
Oh, yeah, and that Wii U stuff, whatever. Actually, Steve called me today. He wanted to inform me. He did have that kind of seminal moment with the Wii U. His niece and nephew were over for the weekend, and they played Wii U all weekend long. And he said, Nintendo Land is immensely fun when playing it with other people. And
oh, good. So it's not the Wii.
Yeah,
exactly.
I was listening to the Gamesman, and he had a guy on from the Nintendo-Oki website, and they were talking about it. And they're talking about, yeah, you can take it with you wherever you go. And then the other guy's like, yeah, but that's nothing I can't do with my DS or my PSP or my iPhone. So I don't know. I kind of feel like, you know, a big deal, I guess, is how I kind of feel, you know.
I'm liking all the little bits of snippets of cool stuff that they're putting into the game. I mean, I was listening today when they was talking about Call of Duty. And they were saying, if you only just bought the Nintendo console and you've never played it on any other console, one of the cool things is if you're playing split screen, it's not split screen, so one of you can play on that gamepad, whilst the other one can have a controller and be playing it on the TV. So
one,
know,
of you can,
it,
one of you can yeah. squint and go blind, and the other one can play it on the big flat screen.
Well, you know what's not cool about Call of Duty on the Nintendo Wii U?
What's that?
There's less than 1,000 people playing it.
700 people.
Yeah.
That is bad. I mean, you just sold 400,000 units, and the largest game of the year by any measurement is, there's only, you know, that's bad.
Yeah, but all right, then let's put that in proportion, though, because from what I've heard, the supplies of the Call of Duty in the shops and that have been very limited for the Wii U. That's what I was hearing, so... That might have impact on that.
I
suppose that would have impact on that.
I definitely
but I
sold
would,
700 of them, though.
Yeah, I would like to think that Activision has made at least 100,000 units of Call of Duty for the Wii U. I don't know. That was a very disturbing number to hear. I'll just put it that way. I like a lot of what the Wii U does, and there's a lot of things that it's done that I think are smart choices. There's a lot of things it's done that I'm not so sure about, but what it has done for me, at least, is made me kind of excited to see what Sony and Microsoft put out. Now more than ever, I'm very curious to see what they do. I can wait on the Wii U. If it turns out that Sony and Microsoft both put something out that's basically just the Wii U, you know, itself, then I've got choices. But
they won't.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
it'll be better.
All right. So, question for next week. We already talked about it before, but we'll just throw it back out there before we move on, which is, has a bug or glitch ever turned you off to a game that you were otherwise excited to play? And, yeah, I think there may be some definitive yeses for that question, from us at least.
Yeah.
This is where we play the jingle.
Starsky's bored. Let's do this.
community events.
And Chris, you can start.
The jingle's done. Okay, good. I never know, you know, how long the jingle is. Lion face, lemon face. All right, good. Things going on in the community. The Monster Mondays thing. People are still digging the Minecraft. Get it, digging the Minecraft. Anyway,
wow,
moving on.
That's good. That's good.
Monday night, a new thing going on Monday nights. If you've had enough Minecraft, and I know you can never have enough Minecraft, but if you want to do something different, play a little Halo. Halo 4 Monday night's going to do some co-opity goodness, some multiplayer goodness. It should be fun. I will try to be there next week. Of course, there's always Friday night racing on, you guessed it, Friday night, 8:15 British time, whatever you guys call your clocks over there. So come have fun. And the G4TE F1 2012 championships are underway. Don't forget, Halo 4 tournament, multi-site tournament, lag, G4TE, gamer dads, lots of different people taking place in the tournament. There's a sign-up thread live on the G4TE website, so check it out. And the veteran gamers, they're going to be getting together this weekend and playing... Yes.
That's your cue, Mike.
An excellent game, whatever they play.
I don't know. We haven't recorded the show this week. So.
Oh, this is true.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. So listen to the Veteran Gamers show to find out what they're playing. Although they'll probably release the show on Monday after the playdate's over. So
no,
don't
worry. We'll release the show on Thursday, Friday sometime.
No, you won't.
I'm thinking you guys will be playing Black Ops 2 again.
Maybe.
I'm gonna go with poker, Texas Hold'em poker.
Also a possibility.
That did that the week before last, though, didn't it?
That's what I'm betting on. Yeah. Texas Hold'em.
I might vote for Red Dead Redemption. How about that?
You don't count.
I went on about 7 o'clock to join you, the old VG lot, but I couldn't see anybody on, so I don't know how long it lasted this week.
I don't know. Because I'm usually... Sundays are tricky for me, so I can't really always make it.
Tricky!
It's tricky to rock around. Right. So something will happen with the veteran gamers. It'll be grand. Happy birthday to Skidmark 27. And you're the shed. You are the shed. Happy birthday.
Are you the shed?
Yes. And welcome to new members Hellhead Whiplash, Gamox14, and Hardly Dan. Hellhead Whiplash, by the way, would like to remind you to check in on the forums every now and again. Victories achieved this week. We need something triumphant for that, like a trumpet or something.
How's this? Dun 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 dun!
Beautiful. Cool. I'm in tears. Congratulations to Murphy's Law, our very own Greg DeLacy, for finishing Halo 4 and XCOM Enemy Unknown.
Yes.
Bravo.
Thank you.
Bousy finished Black Ops 2. Hardly Dan finished The Walking Dead, episodes 1 through 5. John Mouse finished Mass Effect 3. Metric Pizza finished The Walking Dead, episode 5. Amorous 89 finished Scribblenauts Unlimited and To the Moon. SLH finished The Walking Dead Episode 1. Marcanix finished Lego Lord of the Rings already? My God. Maverick F20 finished Halo 4. PG Tips 77 finished Red Dead Redemption. Where have you been, man? Hey, write us in, PG Tips, and let us know how badly the ending was spoiled for you, because surely we've done it at least 7 times on the show.
Yeah.
Bongo the Sane finished Halo 4 and Daytona USA. Well done, everyone. Continue achieving victories. And if you finished a game and you would like to, well, if you're getting close to finishing a game, I should say, and you would like to be included in the contest, simply snap a picture of your face with the end game credits or some other scene from the end of the game and tweet it to @g4te.com, spell the dot. And you have to be a follower of @g4te.com, spell the dot, and 18 years of age to win. Winners will be drawn sometime after January 31st, 2013. And there's 1,600 Billy Bucks on the line. I think it's just $20 in your chosen gaming currency, right? Yes.
Sure.
Yep. And that brings us to our favorite field correspondence.
Hi, it's Bongo the Sane here. and welcome to another FAQ. Today really isn't a FAQ, it's more like a complaint. Am I turning into a grumpy old bugger? So, I was in a Belfast game shop today, and the little stuck up, nasty would be the wrong word, the shop assistant, dweeby little girl, who probably has never had an Xbox or a PS3 controller in her hand in her life, came up to me and said, "Are you okay, sir? Can I help you? Do you need help picking a gift for your son or daughter?" Oh my goodness, I could have strangled her Hollister-topped little head. Yeah, well, maybe at 43 years old, I am now looking like sad, embarrassing old dad. In fact, to my 12-year-old, I probably am embarrassing dad. But this embarrassing dad is a proud gamer with a great knowledge of gaming and a great heritage and gaming history. So I suppose I better get used to being frowned upon, maybe looked down upon or smiled at, or that old fella, what does he know? I don't know. So this is the future of being a grumpy old gamer, I suppose. That's just the way it's going to be. Gaming for the elderly. Yeah. That's the future of you all. All you little young 20-somethings and early 30s. Just you wait to get into your 40s. Ask Parsnip. He's well in his 50s now. And, well, he's very grumpy. So, yeah. That's my rant. Young people. Old people know more about games than you ever will. Until you're my age. So, don't be so grumpy with me anymore. Thank you, and good night. Bongo out. Now, where are my slippers?
So, I have one word of advice for Mr. Bongo.
Lay it on him.
Amazon.
That is good advice. You never have to step foot in a shop again, and you don't have to worry about losing your slippers. Now, thank you, Bongo. That was a great little,
thank you, Bongo.
Little rant. Yeah. We also have a community spotlight from Parsnip.
Community spotlight from Parsnip.
Hello, this is Parsnip Nose with another community spotlight. I managed to actually remember it was Tuesday today, so well done me. My spotlight should be all about me, shouldn't it, for actually recognising the days of the week. Anyway, I think it's about time I mentioned Chinny, just because I think he did such a good job with hosting when Greg was away in Chicago, and I really like that music he edited in to the end of the podcast. I know he made a couple of mistakes, but so what, don't we all? I can't even remember the days of the week, for God's sake. Anyway, that's it from me. Bye-bye.
All right, Parsnip, thank you for that. And
thank you, Mike. Parsnip.
Yes. Yes, well done, Michael. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. Please. Enough now. Now, calm down.
Send money?
Yeah, send money.
Okay. All right. Indie Writer Block, if you want to, if in the mood to write something about gaming and or just anything else, it doesn't have to be about gaming, but Gate would love to get your thoughts on digital paper on the Indie Writer Block. And to do that, you simply just contact Jay Schumacher via email. It's iwb@g4te.com, or you can always tweet him at @iwblock, and he will help you get your stuff up onto g4te on the front page. iTunes reviews, we do love them, so please continue to submit iTunes reviews like David Sutherland.
Have you checked
them?
Yes, the...
we do check them. I did not check them this week.
So you haven't checked them?
Not this week, no.
Okay.
We appreciate them. We get like one or two every week, and then every once in a while we get like a landslide. Yeah. But if you want to just send us an email, you can do that, Mike. How would you do that?
You go into your email thing.
Right.
And then you type in the address or to ocpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah.
I got this. Okay. I got this.
Excellent. Do you know about Twitter?
Yes, I do. I know about that Twitter thing, yeah. It's a website.
Twitter thing?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Did you know we have a Twitter account?
I did, yeah. And the the name for the Twitter account is OC_podcast. So what you can do is you can, you know, follow that or whatever.
Or whatever, sure.
You want.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah. So we also have this voice line thing, but you wouldn't know about that because you're in the UK, but Mr. Matthew would totally know about this because he's stateside.
I am stateside, and I do know how to use a telephone. If you also know how to use a telephone, you can call us, like Mr. Conger, and leave us a voicemail at 626-506-OC-POD or 626-506-2763. Yes, I know I messed it up, Greg. Shut up. Moving on.
It's okay. I'm letting it go. I'm an easygoing host.
You were going to say something. I could sense it.
Sense it.
No, I would never say something. Rich, though. Rich might say something.
Oh, what would I be saying then?
You know what? You would be saying, I don't know, shout-outs.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Mine would be Movember, because it's last week. So,
How's yours coming on?
I've put,
it's probably as big as this kid's hair.
Yeah, mine currently is, my last photo was entitled, The Contemplating Farmer, because I had a flat cap on and I looked like a farmer.
I see.
Yeah, but it's big and meaty, yeah. Lots of grey and lots of ginger in it as well. Quite looking
mine's
forward
just, to mine's just up. Black. Mine's just dark.
Yes. Oh. And I'll shout out Shinyverse for sending me that message about sorting out my Call of Duty settings for the single player. Hopefully that's going to work. And also everybody that's joined me on Letterpress, because it's an excellent addictive game on the old iPhone, iPad. Yeah, so what else? Anything else? Now, I've got to shout out Steve Conger for being daddy-to-be. I've got to say, from that voicemail, what a forward-planning man. He's got the name sorted out and everything. I bet the nursery's already done. Yeah, well done that man. So, shout-outs to Chris. What you got?
I have to say I'm similarly impressed that that Jeff already has names picked out and nursery probably decorated. I think I heard him mention on one of the shows that they were already buying like baby stuff and kind of stocking up. So way to go. I think we picked out the names for both of our boys on the way to the hospital. And in fact, I know the second one, we weren't even certain until, the next morning. And we're like, yeah, okay, this is his name.
But Chris, so. don't you agree that it's good to plan now? Because, that baby's born, all that planning is out the window.
Absolutely.
Totally.
You gotta have a plan, from which to deviate. Yeah, that's just the rule. So well done. Well done and congratulations. It will pale in comparison, but I will also shout out Shidyverse and Hot Chutney and Steve-O-Matic. They were my co-op partners through the Halo 4 campaign. So thank you very much, Spartans. Now I'm looking forward to some multiplayer. And I will pass it to Michael.
Shoutouts.
See, I knew you weren't ready. That's why I did that.
I was ready. I just don't have any.
Clearly, you were ready.
Shout.
It's okay. Stage fright is nothing to be afraid of.
Oh, God. How do you know? Shout outs. I will shout out the Xbox. One, because I'm looking at it. Two, because it's provided many hours of entertainment. I'll also shout out my chair. I'm struggling here, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
It's a good sturdy chair.
Sometimes it's best, Mike, to just pass it.
No, I'm going to hog it until it dies.
like this show is dying?
Yeah. shout out Chad Warden. Because I'm being told to. So.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll shout out that guy. I wonder where he is. I wonder where Chad Warden is right now. And I wonder if he knows how popular he is amongst us.
Hey, I don't know if anybody's watching Twitter this week, but I was following El Presido.
Yes, that's my shout-out.
Yeah.
Mike,
I'll shut up then. I'll shut up. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's still uploading videos on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's now got, was it Tele TV or something like that? It's like his own, it's almost like a pennant or kind of program. And
right.
Yeah, he's got all kinds of videos. That dude just talks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He likes the sound of his own voice, definitely.
Yes.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. Well, I don't like my voice, but hey-ho. Yeah, there you go. That's a roundabout shout-out. I did that. I handled that well. Greg. Close the show.
All right. So I want to shout out the movies Flight and Argo.
Argo.
As well as 007 Skyfall. All three great movies.
Skyfall's good.
You're looking for a movie to see, you won't go wrong with any of those.
What's that Matthew Fox movie that's out now?
You keep bringing this up, and I don't know who you're talking about, so I will
Matthew
just ignore
Fox
that.
Matthew Fox was the lead. Was Jack.
He's the main
Lost.
Guy from Lost. That is Jack.
Matthew Fox.
I'm still drawing blanks.
What the hell is that?
I know the guy you're talking about, but yeah.
He's in a film, Alex Cross. There you go. There's commercials running for that at the moment. There's a film called Alex Cross.
Right.
And it stars Matthew Fox. So I thought, that looks like it could be cool.
Just going to invade my shout out.
Sorry, mate. Talk about Sorry. You've, Fucking hell. But, jeez.
Talk about a movie you've never seen, man.
What?
You know, funny fact, I don't know if anybody knew, but Steve Conger lives on the corner of Jacob Street and Samuel Avenue.
Really?
Not really. No.
That would be horrible.
That would be horrible. No, but Steve, absolutely congratulations on the little boy. You have so much to look forward to. You have no idea. Yeah, that's pretty much it, guys. Yep. I think this show's done.
Let's wrap it.
Done.
Wrap it up.
Bye-bye.
Jammerful.
Bye.
Don't tackle both Hello. Sides of the bed.
Again.
So I'll scoot you over.
Hello.
All right, we're recording. Hello, Mr. Primrose. Rich,
this
can you hear us?
Is being recorded.
Adam, shut that fucking thing off.
Rich, are you hearing us?
Rich.
Rich.
Rich. Rich, can you hear us?
Right. It's my iPad. I'm listening through my laptop, but my iPad's picked up the fucking call.
Apple.
Turn off, you bastard.
Hello.
Hello, Rich.
Did you hear any of that baloney?
Yes.
Good night, love.
Yeah, good night, love.
Love you.
Don't hog the bed this time.
No, yeah, I'm not on about that. I'm on about afterwards when I was swearing at my iPad.
Yeah, we could.
Yes. If you notice in the chat window, we are disparagingly talking about Apple.
Okay. Pain in the arse. I've just had to switch it off.
It's episode one at the moment.
You guys want a podcast?
Podcasting. How are we doing for games? Have we been playing games this week?
We have. Finishing games, no less.
Finishing games. I have been hammering a game, but I just haven't got around to, like, getting it done.
Get it done. Conversations sent. Aha. File. Okay.
So I was just thinking, right?
Oh, yeah.
Superman.
Yeah.
More specifically, Superman 2.
Dean Cain. No, that was the program.
Superman 2. That's the one with the three.
With the three, yeah.
With the three.
So Clark, a.k.a. Jor-El, son of Jor-El, Kal-El, flies Lois Lane to the Fortress of Solitude, presumably in the middle of the Antarctic or Arctic ice cap, not sure which.
I just got
at which point in time he steps into the chamber and loses his superpowers.
That's correct. Yeah. So he can live a normal life.
All right, how do they get back? actually American people should not talk about American politics.
Probably a better call.
At least half of them.
At least one in particular named
shh, shh. off the air. Off the air.
Hey, everybody, yes, welcome to...
He's fucking back.
Yes, he is.
You gotta admit, that was good. So apparently the star of Two and a Half Men has come out and said, you shouldn't watch Two and a Half Men because it's garbage.
Whoa.
And it is. I'm just surprised that he would say that.
Yep.
And if you're going to be, if you're going to claim to be so principled, why not just quit the show? You know what I'm saying?
It's pretty, that's pretty weird.
I hadn't seen a good Ben Affleck movie in a long time, but Argo is good.
You know, watch The Tan.
I did not see.
No idea what you're talking about.
The Tan, about the dudes that grown up in Boston
and
the
town.
The Tan.
I thought you were saying the tan, as if like he got the tan, or he was tanning leather, or was playing the tambourine.
See, Rich, the W
Queens
is not
English, everyone.
The W is not silent. It's town.
Tan.
Fuck. But no, Argo. It's based off of a true story.
The
which tan. Makes it,
the tan.
Which makes
that's like British redneck.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about
too
RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.